The following program is being broadcast on the Amazing Women of Power, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International. This show contains motivational language and may not be suitable for negative listeners.
All my dreams, I've had enough of these annoying and distracting schemes. I'll choose my friends because apparently they're choosing me. The time is now to pay attention to my destiny.
From his humble studio in Orange County, California, comes a young songwriter with a dream, encouraging others to go after their dreams. Learning from the best in the business and passing it along to you, it's Strong Rider on the radio.
I had the blues, but I made it better, baby. And that's why I wrote this song. And now you can sing along.
Yeah, I'm singing, and I'm a-playing, and I'm writing, and I'm a-learning. And that's what I do. That's how I roll here at Strong Rider on the radio. Welcome to the show. My name is Dean Olson, and I'd love to introduce you to a wonderful jazz musician. He is a drummer. His name is Ben Bailey. He has a new CD out called A Bird in the Hand, and I got to recently interview him here on the radio, mainly to promote his CD, because that's what you do when you have a CD. You go and promote it. So he's a very talented musician, wonderful to talk to on the phone. And he's worked with some amazing people. We had a blast getting to know each other over the phone and had a very productive conversation. So productive, in fact, that I am going to make this a three-parter, a trilogy. Never been done before. You'll hear his tunes throughout the body of the show, and at the end we'll have a cool listening party, and Ben will explain. He'll give like a little behind the music on each tune. So please enjoy this jazzy interview with musician Ben Bailey. All right, people, this is going to be good. I am ready to drum up some excitement and get jazzed about a big band swinging CD. All right, enough. I'm not going to do the puns for this whole interview, but I have a wonderful featured guest, and his name is Ben Bailey. He has a new debut CD, the first one he's had after being an avid jazz artist and performer for 31 years. And it sounds like he was trying to get it just right. But you know what? I listened to the CD, and it's called A Bird in the Hand by Ben Bailey and the Nashville Big Band. This is an awesome, awesome CD. If you like big band music, or even if you just like up-tempo, energetic, kick-ass drumming. Oops, did I just say that? Well, gosh darn it, I don't care. Okay, I'll calm down now. You know what? I don't want to scare away my guest. After all, he is a very talented jazz musician, a drummer, and he's on my show, and I'm very proud to have him. Ben Bailey, welcome to Strong Rider on the Radio. It's a pleasure to have you.
Well, thanks, Dean. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, you are a drummer. You've been doing this for a little while. I saw that you've been doing this for over 30 years, correct?
Yeah, Dean. I have been doing this for about 30 years. I think maybe even longer.
Well, tell me a little bit about how you got started, your first recollection of learning to play music, and then we'll go from there.
Well, great. Yeah, I actually, I think the drums and music found me. I started at age nine, I think, nine or ten, and my dad was a musician and a big influence on my musical career and endeavors. And, you know, I started in the band. I actually started playing organ and then piano, and got it. I always liked the drums and always banging around the house on pots and pans.
That's a problem for some folks. When you're banging on pots and pans in the house, they tell you to knock it off, but did they encourage you?
Yeah, my family was very encouraging, and yeah, I was I stayed home from school one day, and I was sick, and the Benny Goodman story, the old movie with Gene Krupa as an actor, was on, and I saw him playing the drums and very theatrically playing, and a big movie star, and that's how I got interested in playing the drums and jazz. You know, a lot of records around the house, and you know, so there's always music in my family going on.
Cool. That's about what age? Around 9 years old, you say?
Yeah, I think I was probably in the fifth or the sixth grade, and I started, of course, on the snare drum, and just loved the way drums looked and the shininess of everything, and learned how to play the bells, and eventually moved over into the drum set and the percussion instruments.
That's pretty cool. But in the sixth grade, most of the kids, at least when I was growing up in the 70s, that they had, I was kind of into jazz too, but I didn't make it too public. Not everybody else was into it.
It's interesting. I kind of came into the process, into jazz later on. I certainly liked my dad's records. I don't think I understood what jazz was. I was listening to a lot of rock and bands like Chicago and Aerosmith and Led Zeppelin. And eventually, when I got into high school, I started listening to, Maynard Ferguson and Pat Metheny and more fusion. And then eventually by college, starting to get exposed to Miles Davis, Duke Ellington, Art Blakey.
Yeah.
Those types of influences.
So you liked sort of that modern, I was sort of in that Spyro Gyra, things like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Those were some cool groups back then. Jeff Lorber and I was into that stuff and nobody else wanted to hear it with me.
Well, it was interesting. We have, and I live out here in Atlanta, but we had a, jazz was very big and pop jazz was big on the radio. And when we were growing up, and I'm sure it was in California as well.
Yeah.
We had, jazz flavors out here. And just listening to a lot of fusion and funk-oriented jazz. And, of course, on television with Johnny Carson and Doc Severinsen's big band and playing big band every night. And I would see my idols on television. And music was just very alive and still is.
It's funny you say Doc Severinsen. A lot of the big band stuff I saw was just in movies and on, TV shows. You would see, Frank Duvall would be playing something, or you'd have, Skitch Henderson, or like you said, Doc Severinsen. And these were all on TV shows as, background music or, fillers for in between the commercials. I just wouldn't hear this stuff played on radio until later on. You have to, search it out on some of the, on the left hand of the dial, for things like that.
Exactly. And, it's interesting you mentioned television and had such a large impact on writers like Neil Hefti, pieces like from The Odd Couple and, Kojak and a lot of those television shows had some wonderful writers, as you know. And in fact, I've just released a new album here called A Bird in the Hand, and we're featuring works of the great composer Billy Byers and Jay Chataway, and they wrote for television and movies, and Jay Chataway, for example, wrote for the television series Star Trek, and love was always influenced by that kind of writing and listening, and of course cartoons had a lot of jazz and percussion, and so it was all around.
Tell me a little bit about Billy Byers. You mentioned him. You opened with a song called Billy's Blues. That number, that opens up your album of eight songs. What is Billy Byers still around, or what's up with him?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. A Bird in the Hand, of course, I was lucky to collaborate with the great Duffy Jackson, and Duffy is one of our American heroes, drummer-wise, and Duffy played with Sammy Davis Jr. and Count Basie. But when Duffy and I, when I had the opportunity to record this project with Duffy up in Nashville, uh-huh. Had some arrangements, and one of the pieces, we wanted to pick up, music for the record that was going to be aligned with my style and approach, and that we could emphasize, my strengths. And he chose a piece that it's very similar to Basie Land, but it's written by Billy Byers, and we actually don't know the name of it, and I may be one of the few folks to actually record this piece. We've not been able to find recordings of it, but and Duffy and his father, of course, the great Chubby Jackson, had this arrangement.
Okay.
And so we titled it Billy's Blues, but it is a furious tempo, really swinging, and very similar to the music of Count Basie. It's got a fast-paced piano solo, and I get to be featured on drums on it. But it was a lot of fun to record.
Yeah, and even more fun to listen to when it's played back. We'll be right back. Now, you mentioned Duffy Jackson, another drummer. How did you two hook up to actually do this album together, two drummers?
Yeah, well, you know, as a drummer, I'd always been a fan of Duffy. You know, I saw his concert as a kid, and, you know, it was just, he was an amazing drummer, very theatrical. And I saw him with the Manhattan Transfer, and he's played all over the world, really. But we featured Duffy as a guest artist here in Atlanta with one of the local big bands that I'm playing in. And Duffy came out and gave workshops and clinics, and we got to be friends. A few years later, on my birthday, in fact, he invited me up to Nashville, Tennessee, and he invited me to play with his big band.
Wow. So he has a residency up there or whatever. He lives up there.
Yeah, he does live up there. He was down in South Florida for a while, now lives and records and plays in Nashville with artists like Vince Gill and a lot of other artists in Nashville, and he's really started an entire kind of big band community going on. But he invited me up to come record with his band, and he had them all warmed up for me, and you know, we did two different recording sessions, the end of 2012 and one in 2013.
Well, how do you perceive the two of you? Are there notable differences in the style of drumming, or does it depend?
You know, I'm certainly influenced by Duffy, as well as many others like Tony Williams and Art Blakey and Buddy Rich and Butch Miles. But I've been very influenced by Duffy, particularly in the last 5 years. You know, he's an amazing. I'm humbled to be around Duffy and to have him mentor me. But he has a very swinging style, a very triplet. You know, we call him triplet swinging, triplet feel.
Right.
And you know, almost approaches as a rock drummer sometimes. But he has a great way to make all the musicians feel very good about their own soloing. You know, we call it, you know, piloting the aircraft. And sometimes the band needs a little nudge, and other times, you know, we let the band, you know, we try to bring out the best in all the musicians in the band. You know, Dean, the drummer, and if you think about a symphony orchestra, the drummer, you know, is similar to the conductor.
Uh-huh.
And when I say that, in other words, we control the dynamics, you know, the scene changes, like within a movie, we provide all the color. And Duffy does a great job of driving his big bands. And I've been very influenced. And then when I'm in my own big band, I'm, you know, taking that characteristic on as to provide that leadership for the band.
Well, he seems like an animated character from pictures and stuff like that. Is that does he bring that tone and that character, as I said, to the project?
He really does. And of course, he's not drumming on the project, but he is a bigger than life person. He's a wonderful conductor, wonderful producer of the record, and brought the arrangements together, brought the band together. And you know, you mentioned the animated. Of course, you know, people like Duffy and Louis Belson and Gene Krupa, they don't let the theatrics and the entertainment get in the way of the music. They're great entertainers, but the music is the most important piece of all of that. You know, a lot of drumming has lost that style of theatrical kind of entertainment. A lot of drummers have stopped doing that. You know, I work to keep that tradition. I think that's my role here, is to keep that tradition alive and I'm playing, but not to let that get in the way of the music.
Well, I'm glad that you are doing that. What did he say about your drumming? Did you have to follow cues, or did he just trust you to read the charts and do it how it should be, you know, like traditional?
Well, you know, Dean, the way this recording was done is unlike recordings these days. This was done live in one or two takes per tune. You know, there's no overdubbing. The musicians are reading music. I'm reading. Of course, I knew the songs as well. But it is a very live, and you can listen to it, a very live swinging kind of sound to it. I think, you know, between takes, you know, I'd talk to Duffy and he'd have some opinions and I'd have some opinions and we would meet in the middle. For example, some tempos, you know, he wanted to play some of these, he wanted me to record these songs slower than I had initially anticipated, and slower to kind of get into the funkiness of the groove and really bring out kind of a greasy sound. And I was able to, you know, I met in the middle with him, and I did do that, and it was a challenge, and I think it, you know, I hope it worked out well.
Now, you have some really top-notch and professional session musicians playing on this thing. You and I talked before we got on here about the makeup of a big band orchestra, so to speak. Should be about 16 pieces, I think you told me.
Yeah, you know, an orchestra is really the right term. You know, we have you know, five saxophones, an alto tenor, and a bari, and a tenor two, and we've got four trombones and five trumpets. And then in this configuration, we have a full rhythm section, and we feature, guitar, bass, and drums. And
Good.
We had artists, our guitarist was, for any Toto fans in your audience, is Dave Hungate. And David Hungate was the bass player for Toto, but he's also a wonderful hollow body jazz guitarist.
Yeah.
And
he's
providing that, we call it comping, in very much a Freddie Green style.
Say that term again. It's called what?
Well, it's called comping.
Oh, comping.
Comping, and we call it jazz comping. And he's doing these quarter note patterns, strumming patterns on the guitar. And he's on all of the tracks, but on some of the tracks you can hear him. And he plays some wonderful guitar playing. But we also have people like Bruce Dudley, who's a session player and tours internationally. And Bruce Dudley plays the piano. And Ike Harris, playing some wonderful deep bass tones in the rhythm section.
Great.
Yeah.
How about you had Kenny Anderson in there too on the saxes?
Kenny's a wonderful person. So we've got Kenny Anderson, who's Kenny has played with Arturo Sandoval and Miami Sound Machine.
Jeez.
And plays in Nashville, and just a wonderful tenor player. And, Kenny takes a really nice solo. He walked into the session with the full leg cast on, and it was really fun, giving him a hard time. And unfortunately, he broke his leg, but he sounds great on the cut called Why Bother by Matt Harris out in California. But Kenny plays. We've got the Barber Brothers, Roland and Rahsaan Barber, play on this album as well. And Roland playing trombone and Rahsaan playing saxophone, so...
Yeah, this is good. Yeah. Yeah, some of these names did jump out at me. Kenny Anderson and Robbie Shankle. Yeah. And then also, you mentioned David Hungate. Yeah, I remember him as the bass for Toto, but also played on those a Boz Scaggs album I have, Silk Degrees. And to have him play guitar, jazz guitar, it was just, I couldn't believe it.
You know, you bring up a real good point, and that I try to do as we mature in this life and really play our personalities. And Dave Hungate is not outspoken. He's a very intelligent player, and you can hear it in his playing. The same with people like Steve Patrick and Jim Williamson. Jim Williamson playing flugelhorn, and he's, of course, the conductor for the Nashville Jazz Orchestra. So there's a lot of jazz going on out in Nashville.
Yeah, so I've heard when I talk to some people, even some of the these tribute shows where they do Jean-Luc Ponty, or they do Steely Dan tribute bands, and it's just an interesting mix when especially people on the West Coast, they don't really have we just don't know what's going on over in Nashville. We think it's all what we see on TV with the Country Music Awards and things like that.
So there's a lot of jazz going on in Nashville and in the Atlanta area. And all on the East Coast as well. But, some other artists, Tom McGinley's playing bari on this, on a few cuts, one of the, on all the tracks, really, but a piece on Soft Skies we do, and you can hear Tom, of course, with the Memphis Horns and with Neil Young.
Oh, wow.
So we've got a lot of great artists, Matt Davich, and, Matt Davich is a great studio musician and plays with the Nashville Symphony as well, and Dennis Soley, wonderful tenor sax player, and Dennis is really an American treasure in the jazz world. And then, of course, Ike Harris, who plays with Hank Williams Jr., but he also plays a lot of jazz. So it was a surprise to me at first when I met these guys and went up to Nashville, and then I heard them play, and they mean business.
It must be nice to just be in the room with all these people that you could have... great admiration, but do they return the favor and say, "Well, wow, you're awesome, Ben," or anything like that?
Well, I'm humbled to be around these guys. I did get some great feedback, and the album has been downloaded. Been downloading a lot, and people are buying it. So I must have done my part.
Well, brag on it a little bit. I saw a chart just recently off the Jazz Times where you climbed up to 15. Was that the album, or is it one particular track?
Well, what's happening now, it's really exciting, and I didn't want to also forget to mention we had the great DJ Boggs, who works with Taylor Swift. DJ did all the mastering, all the mixing for us.
Okay,
so
that's important.
That sound together for us on the record. But what's happening, what we're seeing is an increase in airplay last week. It's been on the market for about a week now, and we've got a 32% increase in airplay across the United States and Hawaii. It's exciting.
Yeah, I know that you were curious as to how this would be accepted, but when you got a quality product that you just put out, I know you've put about 20 CDs already, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And, I'm kidding for the folks. No, this is your first CD, right?
Yeah, this is my first album, and we think that, you listen to it, you want to dance, images of that Vegas, early 60s. Kind of feel it to it.
Right, yeah, at the nightclub maybe, and on the strip.
That's right, exactly, and all those images, and then some more modern interpretations of this music, so people will enjoy that.
I sort of gave a little shot there because, you're 31 years or so performing, and now you have a CD finally. I was figuring what took you so long. My goodness. You've been busy, so obviously you've enjoyed performing with all these amazing artists over the years. People that you've listed in your on your CD, like Houston Person and the Four Freshmen. I didn't even know they were still around.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And Houston is a great person. Houston Person is, but wonderful sax player that I got to record with. The Four Freshmen did some concerts, and I've recorded with them. I've done some videotape with them and some big band playing, and based out of Las Vegas. Francine Reed is a real treasure on the East Coast. She does a lot of work with Lyle Lovett. But I worked with Francine and the Joe Grants and Big Band, and Joe's in Atlanta, and another guy, Mike Geyer, and people know Mike as Puddles the Clown out in Los Angeles. So King Size is his name. But a lot of great musicians all over the country, and I've been fortunate to do that. And this album is called A Bird in the Hand. It's certainly worth $200. I never contemplated recording an album. I've been on people's records, and the opportunity just came out of nowhere. And I just took the opportunity. It was, when you work with what you're handed, and we just pulled it together. So that's what happened.
You recorded, so you're on. You're credited on some other people's albums. Were you on one of Freddie Hubbard's albums?
No, I got to perform with Freddie down in Tallahassee back in the '80s, and he was a guest artist, and I learned a lot. Being around him, being around people like Marcus Roberts in college, and
this is very important. You're soaking it all in. How did you tell me why you called this thing A Bird in the Hand?
Well, A Bird in the Hand, really, the opportunity arose. I hadn't, sometimes you can plan things all day long and have goals and dreams, and sometimes opportunities just come your way, and this was one of those that I had thought about doing some other things. I had never considered doing a jazz recording project. And I took the opportunity and made the most of it and really pulled the pieces together, and I'm pleased with the result.
You really do deliver. And the man you were talking about that mixed it, it's tough to you know, you got to get 16 elements going at the same time. All these different instruments. It's tough to mix that stuff. So it really sounds good. I have not heard it with headphones on, which is the way you should listen.
Yeah, I think you'll get a kick out of it. But it was recorded with, you know, room mics, and there's no sound baffling. There's no overdubbing. It's a live room in Nashville. And we really got that element, if you listen to some of the recordings, or we tried to get that element of some of the recordings that were done at Capitol, and some of the early Evangelder sessions. And we try our best to approach that kind of sound.
Wow. Well, there you go. And we have just run out of time, but that's why I called this part one. Part two is coming next week with Ben Bailey. You can get his music at his website, www.benbaileymusic.com. And anybody who was listening to Billy's Blues, the song that was played toward the beginning of the show, you can tell what an impressive and talented drummer Ben Bailey is. So, Ben, should you be listening right this moment, I just wanted to let you know that my wife and I are one of your biggest fans, and we are really... Well, two of your biggest fans. She's one, I'm one. Okay, so what? We think you're great, and we just wanted to tell you that. So, everybody, please tune in next time for part two of this Ben Bailey conversation. You're going to love it. And until next week, this is Dean saying put your best pen forward and be a strong writer. We'll talk to you later, and have a great weekend. Goodbye now.
You've been listening to Strong Writer on the radio with your host, Dean Olson, on the Amazing Women and Men of Power, the world's leading positive programming network powered by Raven International.